example, we've invested £15 million to create the Violent Crime Task Force. Now, some of this Cressida may have already discussed with you, and I apologise for repetition. This will proactively target knife and violent crime with nearly 300 officers focusing on the areas that are worst affected. And since its establishment, the task force has seized 1,479 dangerous weapons and arrested 3,632 suspects. But as I mentioned at the start, we know that the causes of violent crime are extremely complex and that they involve deep-seated problems like poverty, inequality, social alienation, but also a lack of opportunities for young people. And a lot of these are areas that myself and my team focus explicitly on a day-to-day basis. This has been made far worse by government cuts, and I'm sure that this is a narrative that you are well aware of and familiar with. But these are cuts not just to the police, but also to preventative services like youth services, local councils, and indeed the charities who work to plug the gaps that are left behind from local authorities who have had their budgets severely diminished. So in response to tackling the causes of violent crime, the mayor has established something that's called the Violence Reduction Unit, or the VRU. And this is based on the principle that violence is preventable. And the unit will work with partners from a range of sectors across health, education, and the voluntary and community sector to tackle the root causes of violent crime. In setting up this work, we've consulted with a number of cities, Glasgow, Chicago, and New York, on the models that they have delivered and developed, which have delivered large reductions in violence. City Hall has spent time properly learning the lessons from others and developing plans to meet the unique needs and challenges that we face in London. These are all cities which have demographics, which have rates of poverty, which have different demographic groups, which are different to ours, which means that we can learn from them in part, but we know that we have our own way of trying to tackle violent crime, which is based on the sorts of communities who are living and working here in our city. This new approach will work alongside a range of other initiatives that we're developing in City Hall, which includes the Young Londoners Fund, which some of you may be aware of, which provides young people, particularly those who are at risk of being caught up in violent crime, with positive alternatives and support to get into employment, training and apprenticeships. But it's still very early days. The unit is still being set up. We've recently welcomed Liv Peck, who is the new director of the VRU, and we are actively refining our priorities and our focus. But a few things are already clear. One is the need for a strong and open relationship with a range of community voices, including those that are directly affected by crime. Community voice has to be at the heart of the Violence Reduction Unit and at the heart of any attempt to tackle violent crime. And this is a key part of my role. The aim is not to have a centralized body which speaks from above, which sets its own targets. The aim is also not to reinvent the wheel, because we know that there are already a wide number of organisations working with affected communities in our city doing a really great job. But that for many, the lack of access to funding, the lack of recognition of the work that they do, prevents them from doing and having the success that they need to have. So what the VRU is doing is ensuring that we work with those groups to make sure that we support them to do the work that they are already doing really very well. The VRU can't be business as usual, so we know we need to take a different approach. We know we need to draw on the expertise of those in the room and outside who know their communities and their local areas well if we are to succeed. But we all have a role to play, and we are committed to working beyond political and institutional barriers to make a difference. I wanted to just close by saying a few words in respect of the work that we are doing on hate crime. Now, I've mentioned before that we do have a very diverse city, and the Mayor of London was the first and the only, as far as I know, to have a dedicated deputy mayor of social integration in his administration in order to try to tackle some of the root causes of hate crime, but also to bring people together to ensure that we are tackling some of the inequalities which have been persistent in too many groups for too long. Prior to my taking up the role, Matthew Ryder, QC, was the Deputy Mayor for Social Integration, and part of his role was to develop a process and a set of strategies for helping us to understand what it is we need to do at a city level to make sure that we reduce the impact of hate and division and reduce division where we can. We know that our definition of social integration is an important one. Social integration is one of those things that many people think is a bit fluffy. They think it's about having people hold hands. It's actually about more than that. It's about ensuring that, and as far as we're concerned, we tackle some of the inequalities that prevent people from feeling that they can participate in society, either individually or with others. And until we tackle inequalities, we can't have or be in a position to really talk about bringing people together to integrate. And so that's key to the way that we define social integration at City Hall. We run a number of programs which tackle the relationship building piece of the social integration model. But social integration is not just about managing problems, such as hate crime, but tackling them at the root. So our team support MOPAC in the work that they do to build confidence and reduce division, hate and intolerance in London. But we also run a number of projects which are specifically about addressing some of those divisions which are too persistent in our city. One of them is the Workforce Integration Network, which is specifically about providing opportunities to young black men, enabling them to find the routes to success in both the digital tech and the construction industries, because addressing opportunities is a key part of addressing inequality. We also have a program of work called Sport Unites, which is about using the unique power of sport to bring people together from a range of different backgrounds, simply by virtue of their enjoyment of sport. And we're using sport as a way of trying to develop better ways of helping people to get along. So social integration is one of the mayor's top priorities, because we know that a socially integrated city is both a fairer one, but also a safer one. And that's because the reality of hate crime does continue to be a problem which affects Londoners. In all parts of the country, race or ethnicity is by far the biggest category of hate crime reported by the police. In the 12 months following the EU referendum, there was a 10% increase in hate crime causing fear among migrant communities. And I don't need to mention or remind you of the hate crime which took place in Christchurch just the other week. We know that hate crime is increasing for certain communities. We know that there are certain narratives which exist in our society which do not help those divisions to reduce. And that's why social integration has to be part of anything that we do which revolves around tackling hate crime, tackling division, and trying to create a fairer city. The Mayor's manifesto and his police and crime plan has a zero tolerance approach to hate crime. His equality and diversity strategy sets out clear objectives to ensure that London is safe for everyone, including those from BAME groups, migrants, people with disabilities, and LGBT plus groups, who are more likely to be the victims of hate crime. MOPAC leads the London Hate Crime Reduction Board. It's also commissioned the Community Alliance to Combat Hate Programme, or CATCH. It's a consortium of specialist community organisations working together to tackle hate and to protect victims. And these victim-led services provide bespoke advocacy to victims of all forms of hate from the moment of reporting and before, right through every single stage of the criminal justice process and throughout recovery. And crucially, MOPAC has led the Met to ensure that all 900 community safety unit officers across London receive specialist training in identifying and investigating hate crime and supporting its victims. So to end, despite encouraging work in progress in tackling preventing hate crime in London, recorded hate crime has doubled across all strands in the last 3 years, and we're not at all complacent. As I've said before, and as I'm sure you've heard before and will hear and continue to hear throughout this conference, there is still much more that needs to be done. But we certainly believe that the only way to really address these serious challenges is through working with communities and in continuing to engage and to listen. Our communities need to have trust in the institutions that exist to protect them and that enable them to thrive. And for that trust to be built, many institutions like the police service, like local authorities, and indeed us at City Hall, have to listen to community concerns and to work with them. Young people who feel at risk need to have faith that when they make reports, these will be taken seriously and that they will be acted upon in ways that do not then make them vulnerable. Those who experience hate and abuse need to know that support is available and need to know where to go to access it. The Mayor and I and our teams at City Hall are absolutely committed to doing this. We look forward to working with all of you to continue to make London a city where all communities feel safe, have faith in viable futures, and where they can all thrive and prosper. Where our roles as practitioners and policymakers and parents and members of communities mean that we have certainty in a city that is safe for our families and for our children. Thank you.